Well, good afternoon, everyone. We have levels. It's the hour of truth. And without Scott and James, who are on the road. And my buddy here is trying to get settled. We, listening to Steve, and you don't need the headphones. We're not doing Skype. It occurs to me that you hear a lot of people talk about especially during Christmas time. And they're real comfortable with the discussion of Jesus. And but what they're comfortable with, I can't read that. I guess it's all the way over here. There you go. What they're real comfortable with is the Lamb of God presentation at Christmas. But the Lamb of God is really being sacrificed at what people are celebrating as Easter, not at the time he's supposed to have been born. The time he was supposed to be born, he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in whom was God's plan of salvation. And this stuff that we're subject to these days, especially my first experience of it was listening to a Campus Crusade for Christ. People in there all going, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life thing. God's wonderful plan for your life is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's His plan.
And it's His plan. And until you get on board with His plan, you're presumptive as all get out to think that you can use that somewhat, not entirely revelatory statement about God loves you and has a plan for your life to justify yourself and what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's
doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and it's actually completely inaccurate, and that's a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's through a lie.
Yeah, I was trying to be politically correct. You know?
It's one of those truths that gets twisted just to hear, because if you look at Jesus and we're to walk as Jesus walked, right, that it says in John, what you would find is that what was Jesus about? Doing the will of the Father.
Yeah.
I only did those things which He showed me to do and said those things He told me to say. So you have that it was all about His plan. It's all about the Father's plan.
Yeah.
Now, that completely takes, and the Lord has a plan for your life. No, the Lord has a plan, and you can be about it.
And
you can get on it, on board with
what
that.
Is it, what does Jesus say about that plan? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the plan. And you don't get to run your own little road right around that, your little bypass. You got to deal with Jesus.
And you gotta deal with His way. I am the way.
That's the way. That's right.
And that's the way. And remember how I remember services years ago would be, I am the way. And Ricky would say, and His way's the only way. Cause we go and we hit John 17 a little bit.
Keep trying to get it to form for us.
What's that?
We keep trying to get it to form around us instead of trying to, have the gospel manifest in us.
Amen. And that's...
He wanted to build its own little special case for us. We're the special group. We're the ones that We get a little attitude because, you know.
And what happens is it goes back to that is trying to make the word conform to you.
Yes.
And not you conforming to the word.
That's right.
You know, and you take that John 17 and just that little bit is the litmus. It's just that little bit where in John 17:20, and I know we read it, but I'm going to turn again and read it again.
That good. That way your memory can't screw it up.
Exactly, because, phew, how that goes. Let's see here.
The truth of the word is that there are, if you want Jesus Christ to be manifest in your life, then you have to manifest yourself, whether you're committed to Him or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself for him, to him. For I can't read at that distance, the old glasses start getting.
Oh, that is key. And that's the thing that, man, I tell you what, do we want Jesus to manifest himself to us?
We might think we do.
We might think we do until the time comes where the Lord sends somebody to tell us a thing and it says, you know, if you keep my commandments, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You go do a thing or hear a thing and go do a thing. Do we go do it or do we go reject it? Do we go reject it? Because if we think that He's going to honor you rejecting Him in His way, you're terribly mistaken. You're terribly mistaken.
Absolutely.
And that's trying to usurp that authority, that the line of authority that the Lord has. It's just like the Pharisees trying to go around Jesus, the one that God has sent. It's no different. Trying to go around Jesus. And you can't go around Jesus because, once again, what did we just say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to them but by me, you know. And
Nicodemus, you know, blew their cover by telling them, look, we know who you are. Oh. And yet you go from 3rd chapter of John to the 8th chapter of John, and they're arguing with Jesus. Or you say you're Abraham's seed. If you're Abraham's seed, you do the works of Abraham. We be not of fornication. We're not born of fornication. We be Abraham's seed. Come on, man. Your father is a father of lies. Your father is the devil. And if it was anything other than that, it would be manifest.
And what you find is, I mean, what's a sobering note in that whole thing is that when you seek to go around that authority, I gotta go pray about that once the Lord has already delivered it unto you.
Yeah.
I gotta go pray about that and ask God. And what you're doing is you are in that place of the Pharisees.
You're
same relationship.
You're presumptively alright because nobody has killed you yet.
Yeah.
But that's not a presumptively all right place to be. When the Lord's patience runs out, when His patience runs out, it's going to stink to be you, just like His patience ran out on the children of Israel in the desert. And then His power got manifested again, and it stunk to be them. Because in the end, they weren't treated any different than these Egyptians were.
Amen.
They had their opportunity. But when His patience runs out.
What does it say? It reminds me of Proverbs. And I will laugh at their calamity.
Absolutely.
Over and over again. And I praise the Lord. And I tell you, just one of speaking in past experience where I have done just as I have done just as rejecting the Lord. Because there would be told a certain thing. And I would reject that. I'd be told, and I go out. Just like Steve says, where, you know, a decision was brought to me. I chose Egypt and those things. And the Lord was in His grace and His mercy. And for people intercessing for me, I found out that, oh my goodness, my ways are terrible. They suck. My ways want to kill me.
That's right.
And you know what? Lord, you were right. And once again, I turn, get on my knees, repent, and actually then receive those words that were given to me, which was life, and life abundantly. And that was manifest. That was manifest. And see, it was never about the person that was giving me the word, because it could have came from 2-3 different people. It was about the Lord giving His word through the people and whether I would receive that or not.
That's right.
And that word is not there for your destruction. It's there for that you might have life.
And you have an opportunity to get it right.
Amen. Amen. And so we say that. You know, we say, yes, we want to make Jesus move. We want Jesus to be manifested to us. But do we do and keep His commandments? Do we have His commandments? Do we keep them? Do we love them? Do we do as He says? Or do we do love ourselves? What it boils down to. Because we can say one thing or the other, but until we go and choose Him, and actually walk that out.
Let me just
nothing.
How important a deal this is. You're gonna have to deal with Jesus. He's the way, and His way is the way, and it's so important that John 14, it keeps saying it. It's like 3 or 4 different ways, but it's the same testimony. This is He did. Have my commandments and keeping them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now that's neat. That's a full circle relationship going on there. All right. Judas says, you know, how is it that you're going to manifest to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's the same thing as verse 21, just stated in another way.
Exactly.
In other words, we're going to be abiding together. The world doesn't have me abiding with them. And that's how it's going to be different. It's going to be me and you in a relationship.
Exactly.
That the world does not have with me. Keep going a minute. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So it's like he's bringing them to a decision. Is this how this is going to happen, or is this y'all going to keep on going your own way?
Exactly.
And trying to justify yourself. And back in chapter 8, they were perfectly content to keep justifying themselves.
Absolutely. But and the question goes, do we need to ask, are we perfectly content doing the same? But you can see the black and white. You can see it just black and white. And you look at this, and all this is designed to get you to know Him and have that personal relationship. As you said before, it's a personal relationship there. This is for you to have life and life abundantly. This opportunity is for you.
And he really keeps going and answering the question of Judas Iscariot, not the guy Judas that's not Iscariot.
Right.
He says, these things I've spoken to you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I have with you, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would receive, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Hereafter, wait a minute, and I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. You're going to have access and understanding imparted to you, because the Holy Ghost is going to be that part that is the I'm abiding with you. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to remember, remind you of all the things I said. It's going to help you to navigate your existence here in a strange land where, you know, you're a peculiar people. But
it reminds me of Romans.
In the world you have tribulation, but take comfort. I have overcome the world.
Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Be of good cheer.
But it reminds me of Romans, which will quickeneth your mortal bodies. The spirit that in you will quickeneth your mortal bodies. How many times in the instance we're just on that level where...
Walking dead men. Walking dead.
Where you have those things quickened to you by scripture or word. There's been many times, been at work, underhanded, looking at the situation, swamped, completely looking at this thing and going... Oh, my goodness, they just set us up for failure. And I'm looking at this, and then the Lord shows me, oh, that's interesting. I only told, he shows me the scripture about where he tells them to only bring a certain amount of people with them to go fight the innumerable amount of enemies that they had at hand so that they would know that it was the Lord that delivered them and won that battle. And I looked at that and was reminded of that and that, and the Lord quickened it to me. The Spirit quickened it to me. I looked at that and I said, well, praise God, Lord, sorry for my unbelief. And repented before the Lord, and it was a great day with a high number. Things rolled out smoothly. And the Lord was manifesting Himself. It was a great deal. So, you know, the opportunities that we have, it just day by day. I mean, how could Paul and Silas praise God in the uttermost part of the prison? Because they had peace with the Lord. And they had faith and trust on what He can do. They didn't care what the world was doing to them. They had what they needed. And the reason why they were sent, what ended up happening was the mission they went to sent to go do, they ministered unto that person.
And let's face it, you or I might not be such warmly receiving of that circumstance.
No.
So, at that point, you have a choice to make. Because you see how the examples you have, see what they did, right? You have the ability to choose how you're going to react to the circumstance.
Are you going to
bitch and moan and complain and whine, or are you going to sit there and go praise God and just glory and praise and honor and just start praising Him? Look what happened to them.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity, because this is an opportunity.
You counted us worthy to suffer for your name. Praise God.
Amen. And because of that, they went and fulfilled the mission. If they did not have that focus, But I wonder if they would ever fulfill that mission and touch the guy that was in that prison. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's the part where we therefore have opportunity over and over again, and there is no reason, there is no excuse, no reason, and not a thing why we can't go forward in the Lord and get to know Him and know Him better. If we're one that we're
things aren't being manifested to us, if we're one where we have been in that state of not taking heed to His counsel, not walking after His ways, not taking the things that He's given us and keeping those commandments, you know what? You don't have to stay there. You can turn and repent and turn around. And you can go find out, Lord, you know what? You're not... Lord, I know I've not been in the wrong place. Lord, I'm going a different direction because you're not being manifest here. You can go to the Lord and seek Him and then go seek those around you that He's put around you and say, I've been struggling. This is what I've been battling with. I find myself in a losing battle here. And I need to know why. Can you help me? Let me share about this and watch the Lord move through that minister. But it takes humility for you to go and find out. See, the Lord's put all this provision around you, all this provision around you for you to find out to go forward in Him. Are you going to take it? He's a gentleman. He's not going to make you go take it.
All right.
But see, what I see when I see this scripture, what I see when I see in John 17, what I see when I see in Ephesians is opportunity for us to know Him better and to go about doing the things that He would have us to do and see the mighty works that He has. And others being touched and receiving
the gospel. I don't know about you, but I want to see what is exceedingly abundantly above that I could ask or think.
Amen.
I want to see some of that.
Amen. I want to see the Lord working in my life and in others as well. I want to see
that. I am not saying I haven't seen some of that, but I want to see more of it.
Amen. Amen.
I want to have that kind of expectation every day.
Amen.
And, you know, I have to fulfill my part of that.
Amen.
I have to be all about seeking Him and His righteousness.
Amen.
I want to be a part of His kingdom.
And you know, that's where you go, you kind of hit John 15's next, which is beautiful. It lines up great.
Yeah.
And what was it? Oh man. Right there at the tip of my tongue. Yeah, well, praise God. It'll come back.
Well, you know, they do have it in print.
No, but yeah, oh, I hear you. It wasn't in John 15. I got ahead of myself.
Oh.
The point I was making on what you were going to say, that I was going to make on what you were going to say, but I just... Praise the Lord.
That's just no excuse.
I hate it
when that happens. You're way too young for the senior moment, though.
Well, you know.
If you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. And that's another way of saying what he said over here in 14. I have... I hate it when I blow by something like that. Oh, man. I was just reading it. I hate it when that happens. You started this ball rolling this way. You know that, right? I'm trying very hard to blame this on you.
I'll take it.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever he ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said that again. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you ask anything in my name, I will do. If you love me, keep my commandments. Somehow it always comes back to that. I will show my love for you. Anything that I do, anything that you ask me, I'll do. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Love God, love one another. Simple. And more of his relationship, of how this relationship looks. I will pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Some more. How are we going to be different from the world? Judas asked. This is how it's going to be different. This is what a relationship is going to look like.
And whatever, you know, I was actually looking at Philippians a little bit this morning, and whatsoever, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Well, once again, to going back to kind of Paul and Silas, they were praising God in the othermost parts of the prison. At what level, I mean, we have opportunity, once again, to keep his commandments and to have him be manifested. Wherever it is, in the workplace, at home, when you go out into the world, you have there for opportunity over and over again for the Lord to be manifested.
If you have the comforter imparted to you, then you should be able to do some comforting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's really the whole point. That's the whole point of him committing the comforter to you. Not so you can lay back and be lazy the rest of your life and just sit there and, you know, eat chips and pick them off your chest as you
playing kinda, video games. What I think of is the talent, the guy that hid the talent in the dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. What is that testimony that he's given you? He turned my life around. He turned my life around. I was a scumbag and dug my hole so deep there was no way out, but I cried out unto the Lord and he turned my life around. He delivered me for the consequences of my actions and turned them for his good and for others' good. What is that for? Is that for you to go put it under and dig it in the ground, or is that for you to go share that others may partake of that same thing? You know, the children of Israel, they had a testimony too, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They had a testimony too, but what did they go do with it? That first generation didn't do anything with it. They murmured and complained. They didn't see as the things that were going on as opportunity. They didn't see the provision that was set all about around them. They weren't grateful for the things that he has done for them. But you see the second generation, completely different, where they went and they took hold of the promises of God and went and walked. And they even, I remember Joshua, when the river opened up, they took the stones so that they can, so when their great-grandchildren would ask them, what are these stones are? They can share the testimony of the Lord and how good he is and how faithful he is. And see, we're in no different place. And none of us are in any different place where we have the opportunity and the provision, just like the children of Israel, set round about us. We're in no different place than that. You know, I can very easily listen to that old man. I can very easily slip into the murmuring and the complaining and the ungratefulness and being that old natural man, that first generation. But that's not the thing I want to partake in. I want to partake in that second generation that says, anything you will say, we will do.
Man.
And have that manifested River Jordan opened up. It was manifested. When the walls of Jericho came down, it was manifested. When they went and took land by land, and his provision was handed out to the children of Israel, like as he promised to his father Abraham, that was manifested unto them. We have that same opportunity. No, let's not squander that. Let's not take heed of that. Let's take heed of those things that he has set before us.
Yeah. I just sit here looking through John 14. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. If it ain't clear to you yet, that God's plan for you is in Jesus, and outside of Jesus, you ain't part of his plan.
Right.
None of these promises apply to you.
That's right.
None of all these good words and these promises and these provision is not yours. If you are not in Jesus Christ, none of this is talking to you. And as he's sitting here and he's talking about how good the Lord is and what his wonderful provisions are and how he's going to take care of them going forward, he yet requires of them that they remembered do what he said do. Easy enough.
And that goes back to him. And he talks about, you know, if you love me, and you keep my commandments, and he goes forth, and I'll manifest in all these promises. You know, and we have a good example. I mean, we can see Peter, for an example. Lord, I philios you. Lord, I philios. My kids come and tell me how much they philios me all the time.
It's like, Jesus can't tell that he's not using the same verb.
And
do you agape me? Yeah, I philios you.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
We on the same page?
Yeah.
I remember saying that
to a minister
one time. I said, yeah, I think we're on the same page. Philip, I don't know if we're in the same dang book. And guess what? He was right. I wasn't. But that goes back to that loving, you know, my kids, they philios with me all the time. Until, you know, I said, hey, you say you love me, girls, don't you? Yes. Then do what I tell you to do.
The way you gotta make it so hard.
Exactly. Do we do the same? Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Then do what I say. Oh. Well, what is that you say?
You see these people. You're telling me I gotta love. Come on, man.
Or he goes and says, if you love me, do as I say, and here's the person I put over you. Lord. No. But.
Yeah, but he's, you know. Yeah, but. And he,
yeah, but Lord, he's the such and such. Doesn't matter. Can't be obedient to him, can't be obedient to me.
I hate it when it goes this way.
I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And we can have two views, like I said. We can have two views. Oh, man. It's so hard. Murmur and complain.
Truth testifies against me so bad.
Or, our other view is, thank you, Lord, for your opportunity and provision.
And you know what? If your heart is stuck in the other, you know what? You can bring that to the Lord. Lord, my attitude's not right. Lord, my heart is not clean. Lord, I see.
It scares me sometimes when I realize that. I realize my attitude's not right. It scares me. Because you always presume you're in better shape than that. And all of a sudden you see how you are and it's like, oh.
A situation happens that tells you how you are.
Yeah. That stinks.
But that's where you do. I mean, you know where to go with that. You can take all these things up to him, no matter what problem. I remember the service we had not too long ago, whether it be anything you struggle with. You know what? You can bring that to the Lord. You can actually cast that care upon him. You know, you can bring those to people around you that will give you his word that you may walk free of those things. Once again, that's opportunity. Once again, that's provision.
Yep.
See? Not holding anything back from this. But it's rather ourselves are holding ourselves back from him. Because quite frankly, the thing that you struggle, you try to hide and conceal, and then it just gets worse. But if you just go bring it to him and give it to him, talk to others, you can get free of it. Or you can go take and try to hide and cover and all that, and it's just going to eat you up. It's going to destroy you. He's there saying, I'll take it from you. What does he say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you.
You know?
So how much should that stuff you should hang on to and walk around with?
None.
None. Zero, zilch, nada, none. How much do we hang on to anyway? Too much.
Too much. And what good is it?
Yeah. For what?
For what? It's destruction and death.
So you can be seen suffering like you're a good martyr of faith? Please. That's just you suffering because you're stupid. The flesh thinks it's going to get somewhere, you know, justifying itself from all that.
You know, and you know, you're right, you know, years I spent, one of those things I confess. Remember looking at work and having to work and all these things. It used to be, Paul used to be, oh, the dread. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I mean, you're just talking about you're suffering because you're just stupid. And I'm sitting there, oh, this is going on at such a load. Oh, that's me suffering because I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. Rather, when I change my perspective that this is opportunity, you know what? I don't mind work. It's fun. It's awesome to see what he can do.
An attitude he's supposed to be carrying is not an opportunity to share his goodness with somebody else and to see how he can manifest himself yet again.
Right there in the workplace. What's an opportunity? So, you know, years I'm sitting here suffering for what cause? Because I'm stupid. Yeah, don't we do the same? I mean, that's just one example. I can go to many others, but that's just one.
Do you and be stupid?
Yeah. No, we don't have to walk by that. The Lord doesn't want us to walk by that anymore. He wants us to have that what? New life divine. That new man he has given us. It's like giving my daughter something. Here's a good thing for you to enjoy, to play with, to have fun with, to go forward in. Nah. I don't want that. I want this other thing over here that's trying to kill me. I've been down that road. It sucks. You know what? I don't want to go down in it. So I say. Let me go walk.
See how, I see, so you do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Paul. Let's see, so I do. Amen to that.
Yeah, it sucks. And then we just hang on to stuff. Just, why am I doing this again? What was the
reason? Oh, yeah.
There must have been a really good reason for this. What do you mean the reason is I'm stupid? that's not the reason I was looking for.
We've done touch the same areas so many times, and I'm just saying in our personal walk that we're, oh wait, that's fear and worry. Why am I hanging on to that again? Oh wait, that's a covetous thing. Why am I hanging on to that again? Oh, that's misery and distress. Why am I hanging on to that again?
This time it'll be different.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know the word says this, but I'm special. Oh man, it just ain't right. And that's the problem. We just ain't right. This is such good stuff. And if you read it and understand how much of this, John chapter 14, it's just answering the question that Judas asked him. And, you know, it was a pretty good question. And it's like, a question, you know, the question I talked about in service comes to me, said, why did Abraham have to swear about anything? I mean, why did God have to swear about anything concerning Abraham and the covenant he was making with him? And it had to do it because Abraham didn't know him all that well at the time. Come, advance it, I don't know, what was it, 30 years?
25, 30 years.
And God tells him to take Isaac up to the altar. God didn't have to explain himself any at that point. Now, Abraham didn't ask any question. He answered Isaac's. Isaac's question was like, where's the ram here? Like, I'm starting to get nervous. Don't worry about it. God'll supply the ram.
And Isaac was of well age. I mean, and just thinking of that scenario, I'm thinking, be like you and I going up the mountain.
Yeah. We're going up the altar to make a sacrifice, but,
where's the ram?
Where's the ram? You got a big old butcher blade there. What's going on?
You think about that. Don't worry, God will provide.
Because at that point, he knew God.
That's right.
Back when they were just initiating the covenant, he didn't have all that much experience. So that question is a pretty good question. It's so much of what goes on here is, you know, I believe that it's related to the fact that we're created in His image. And after His likeness, He created us. And the questions we have are because we have been created after His likeness. And so much of how He deals with us is because we have been created like Him to enough degree that when we see Him, we can know Him. And, this question, why did you swear? You know, like, My father would answer that question, so he answered that question because he doesn't know me yet. You know, I see some of that working over here in John 14. Judas doesn't understand what's going on. How's he going to manifest himself to us that he ain't going to be manifesting himself to the world? What's this about? A decent question. And how I know it's a decent question, he spent almost the whole rest of the chapter answering it. So, you know, there's some, every question doesn't come from the same place. Some questions are challenges to the authority, to the person you're asking. They're not questions designed to get an answer. They're questions designed to show your disapproval of them. Then there are questions like this that was, I don't understand, you know, he treated it like just, he was just curious and wanted to know. And because he was in training, it was his to know. So he answered the question.
And in what you're describing the question, there's some that are, isn't a question of judgment.
Against, right.
Where the Pharisees would ask some questions were in judgment.
Right.
To bring him down, to put him down, to challenge his authority.
Right.
There are some questions just, I want to know, and I want to know you more.
Right. Where the question comes from, the question comes from the second place, the Lord liable to answer it. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand the process. And
that's what we've been talking
time,
about.
Every time He may not, it may not be yours to understand the process, but sometimes it is, and it's not going to hurt to ask.
And what have we been talking about? We've been talking about that access of knowing Him and knowing Him better and that personal relationship being established.
Mm-hmm.
And that His ways are not past finding out. They're there. They're available. And we have all the opportunity to go find that out. Like you said, sometimes it's not meet for me, us to know at a certain time. Doesn't mean that we won't ever get to know.
It's like when, as again with Abraham, when, you know, God's coming down to see what exactly is going on over here and the reports he's getting from Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, you know, I'm wondering if we shouldn't ask Abraham about, we shouldn't tell Abraham about the fact that, you know, we're coming and we're going to do such and such over here in his land, the land that I gave him. Because it is his land.
And you know, and just in that, what you said, the gifts of God are without repentance.
Yeah.
The land that I gave him.
Yeah.
So it is his land, so I'm gonna go tell him. Because when Jesus gave it, he gave it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little note when you were talking, I had highlighted to me. Go ahead.
That's right.
I mean, just like his power to the church. But go back to what you were saying, I apologize.
Abraham was enough like God, yet God understood that he would, it's just right to do. Of course he could do it. He's God, he could do that. He'd do anything without talking to Abraham first. But, it is really, you know, about God knowing Abraham fully. You know, he doesn't know the choice he's going to make, but he does know how he made him. And he knows that sharing this with him is going to be good for him. It's going to be good for their relationship. And it's because he was created after his likeness. So he's enough like me he's going to be in agreement with me about this. So this relationship going on there that's, you know, based back at the beginning. It's based back at the beginning. Still, Abraham was no much more special than anybody else, except that he believed God. And he trusted to the ram. And that's the only thing that it was still, relationship based on faith.
Amen. You know, it's
before
funny.
Before the law.
And you know, it's funny what strikes me in that. Remember he goes, when he was talking about, and you mentioned it a little bit today, when Jesus asked him, if you were of, or then Jesus didn't ask him, he told the Pharisees, if you were of Abraham's and you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. For Abraham believed on me. I believe, and I could be messing up.
I don't think he says all that. I think he says you do the works of Abraham.
But that, yeah, let me stop right there.
That is the work of Abraham.
Yeah, so I apologize. I should have stopped right there. Thanks for correcting that. Glad you did. And, but, you know, we have that same opportunity. We have that same opportunity.
Yeah, we do. Well, this is going to take forever.
My mind can't help from doing that. I mean, you just see hand in hand the Lord's line of authority. You see hand in hand how people receive Jesus and how that all works out. I mean, you just see it, and it's for your good if you'll let it be. If you'll let it be.
He answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham.
Thank you for pulling it up.
Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. He was telling them they're Cain.
And how many times? I mean,
who was of the serpent.
Absolutely. And just hitting up a little bit there on that verse where it says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. They sought to kill Jesus. But how many times do you have it now today that just the people that are of the Lord go and tell others the truth, and that they turn around and then they go wanting to see, they tear you down. They might not physically kill you, but tear you down, try to make you the credibility of you just downright nothing, full of crap, and just absolutely just beat you down, tear you down, because you told them the truth? Or that man of God told them the truth? I mean, you see that work in the day. And, you know, it's just interesting.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
And, unbelief still looks like unbelief. Rebellion still looks like rebellion. You just hope you're, that's not a testimony of how we are. All right, I think we've come to a wrapping point for another week in the Hour of Truth. I thank y'all for joining me, and I know Phil does as well.
Absolutely.
The Texas service is coming up here in a couple of minutes, right here on the Eagle Radio Network. Until next time, y'all have a great Sunday, and may the Lord bless you as we can say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
See y'all later.